你好，同学们，新年快乐！你们吃饭了吗 ？Okay, welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network (RBN), republicbroadcasting.org. It's the Chinese New Year of free speech because it's Chinese New Year, and we're going to speak freely and importantly. We are going to speak importantly about issues that should be of concern to us. And joining me is Kato. Kato, welcome to the show.
Yes, 新年快乐 and 恭喜发财
Okay.
That's in Cantonese.
That's good.
And then, yeah, right. have you 吃饭了? Have you eaten yet? And did you receive any, you know, 红包, which is red envelopes?
No, no red envelopes for me. I might give out some, though.
Yeah, but, I didn't eat. Mm-hmm.Yeah, I mean,
I
usually give
them
out.
Is that okay?
Well, it's, I mean, some people theorize that, you know, Mexico came from East Asia. I'm not looking into that, but yeah, I mean, as long as, you know, as long as you got something to eat, you know, as long as, you know, we Chinese, you know, we love to eat a lot on the kind of or quantity matters. As long as you have a lot of quantity of it.I versed myself, yeah, I, you know, had, you know, a lot of dim sum and, you know, a lot of, all different kinds of, you know, Chinese cuisine, and yes, I must say, the streets of Chinatown were filthy, and, you know, there was, you know, red confetti everywhere, and you know, there was firecrackers and dragon dancing, lion dancing, it was very festive and very lively, and I really enjoyed myself, this Chinese New Year, so yes, Happy Lunar New Year.To the RBN audience and welcome to the year of the rabbit. You know, you probably out there eat rabbits too since you live, you know, rural out in the country. So yeah, this is your year.
Yeah, well, if they're going to be eating rabbit stew, why do they call it the year of the rabbit? I don't think it's very good for rabbits if people are going to go around
no.
eating rabbit stew.
No, I'm trying to sympathize with some of the RBN audience might be listening.
Yeah.
There's this middle of nowhere, out in the Ozarks or wherever.
Yeah. Well, I mean, some of our audience may resemble Elmer Fudd more than they resemble Bugs Bunny. Okay, so I'll give you that. That could be the case.
What do you say? I'm hunting rabbits.
Rabbits, where are they coming from? Where?
Of course,
Elmer Fudd. I'm multiplying.
Of course, Elmer Fudd always fails, so...
Yeah, well, I mean, if he just succeeded once, it would be the end of Bugs Bunny show, right?
Yeah, but at the same time, it's like, you know, with these cartoons, I mean, they always come back to life after they get smashed or they get flattened or whatnot. So,
Kenny and South Park always did.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but anyway, you know, as much as we would love to keep talking about the wonderful festivities of Chinese Lunar New Year about, you know, what we did or what I did in Chinatown and wherever, well, we got some serious business to get to, unfortunately,
There is some serious business. I've been hearing, what would you call it? Gratuitous attacks on China. And when I say gratuitous, I mean without any basis, without any provocation. So...I'll give you an example, and this is just over the past week. I think it was Wednesday night. Could have been Thursday night. I think it was Wednesday night. Tucker Carlson was covering the resignation of the horse minister, the horse prime minister of New Zealand. Everybody knows who I'm talking about. Name something like Jardine Ardern or something like that. I don't know what her name is. But she looks like a horse, and everybody knows who I'm talking about. And...You know, famously, she had locked down her country and, was forcing.
She banned all the firearms, too. Remember after the crash?
Yeah, she did. She banned the firearms. She, because there was some really suspicious, mass shooting at a mosque. And so then she started wearing a Muslim head scarf for a while. That was her thing. But she had, she closed her borders for COVID. She completely closed the borders and she went headlong into the vax and into all this stuff. And people didn't like it. And so now she's resigning. Okay, so Tucker's covering it, and he covers some of the highlights of her. I guess she's been in office for like 6 years or something. It's a long time, and she's not old. She had a baby in office, so she's you know, of childbearing years, if anybody dares get that close to her. And, you know, she was at the United Nations. He had a clip of her at the United Nations effectively saying we need more censorship. We have to be fighting misinformation and all of this. Well, then she had kind of she was barely could hold back the tears as she was saying, that she's not going to, I guess he's stepping down as prime minister within the next week or two. Okay, good, fine. Cover that story. Well, then so she did all this stuff, taking away firearms, locking down her country more than any other country on earth, really, calling for greater censorship, wearing Muslim headscarves and all this. She did all of this, right? Well, Tucker, and this is completely gratuitous, offering absolutely no backing for this suspicion he has. He says, what do you think that she was a puppet of the Chinese government? I'd say about 100%, right? And for what? He offered absolutely no backing. Now, keep in mind, New Zealand is one of the Five Eyes. So New Zealand cooperates with Australia, Great Britain, Canada, and America on intelligence sharing. Well, who are they sharing intelligence about? Who are their enemies? It's Russia and China, right? So, I mean, New Zealand is part of ANZUS, the Australia-New Zealand-U.S. Security Alliance. It is an anti-Chinese, anti-Russian alliance. So she's literally allied with the United States militarily, you know, at the military level, at the, CIA intelligence level, allied with the United States, with Judeo-America against China. But somehow, she's a Chinese puppet, and everything she did to her population was at the behest of the Chinese government, because she's a puppet. What do you make of that?
Well, I mean, the thing is, I mean, he's just, another form of controlled opposition. He's just another tool. I mean, granted, he says, let's just say, more correct things about what's going on, but heads, on the telescreen, for the mainstream media. And it is, at least domestically, when he talks about domestic stuff, it's somewhat bearable. But at the end of the day, I mean, there's a reason why he's still on there. There's a reason why the Jews haven't taken him off yet. And it's because he's just just another mouthpiece for Jewish power. I mean, just, mm-hmm. With all the other reports talking about Russia, with him, it's all about China. And of course, it's to get the so-called right wing, conservatives riled up, to steer them away from, the Jewish power and the liberal imperialism that they stand for, and directed toward China. I mean, Australia, New Zealand. I mean, Australia, New Zealand. These are basically bastions of liberalism in, the Oceania region. Mm-hmm. And the fact that he would just go up there and just lie, Tucker would just lie to the, to his audience about, oh yeah, she was controlled by China. Well, here's the thing, if China were really that powerful, okay, and let's say China did control, why would she resign? Why would they make her resign? I mean, wouldn't they do everything to keep her there, send her and resign? No, I mean, the whole thing is all BS. He just pulled it out of his you-know-what to say, oh, this is China to distract.
Yeah, I mean,
here's the logic of a lot of these, talking, mouthpieces that, including Tucker, is that, they, on one hand, they view, these countries, oh, they're weak, competent, they don't know what they're doing, and on the other hand, oh, they're this great threat.
And so, okay, New Zealand is not the same country as Australia. They're actually, some people, I've heard people say that you can wade, like during low tide, you can wade out from Australia and get to New Zealand. It's actually a little bit farther than that. You can't really do that. But they are very, very close. And any New Zealand citizen can go to Australia and they can get welfare benefits and they can get, you know, universities and all of that. Okay. So they're very, very close. And Australia is part of this specifically, explicitly anti-Chinese alliance or grouping called the Quad. Now, the Quad's kind of falling apart. The Quad is Australia, Japan, U.S., and India. And it's meant to encircle China and keep them in check militarily. It's a military alliance. It's kind of falling apart because India, even though India has had a long time rivalry with China, India is actually, you know, we're seeing a lot of geopolitical shifting right now. And India's moving closer to the Russia-China axis, if we can call it an axis, and moving away from the global homo axis, which is interesting. But Australia's not. And so, you know, the idea that New Zealand, and he offered no backing. He just said, what do you think the odds are that that Ardern did all this because she's a Chinese puppet? Well, we don't know, but we'd say it's about 100%. You know, he just said it knowingly with this smirk on his face, which, and by the way, the challenge in the octagon, it's still on, Tucker. It's still on. Because I will fight for the glory of the, you know, the People's Republic of China and for the honor of my ancestors, even though my ancestors are Irish, but still, why not?
Fight for the honor of my ancestors. And me.
Fighting Irish. Okay. So I'll be an Irish mercenary for the, Xi Jinping. Why not? Yeah. We'll be talking more about this later, but so it's amazing. And here's the thing. And this is what really concerns me is that actually, if you know, we're in January, it's Chinese New Year. We're looking forward to a new year. And there's actually a lot of potential. There's a lot of potential in this year. Because the Jewish power structure that rules the United States and Western Europe or NATO or Europe, whatever you want to call it, the EU, and parts of the rest of the world by proxy, they've just overplayed their hand. They went overboard. They've going overboard on mass immigration. They went way overboard on the corona apocalypse, going overboard on, you know, white supremacy and all this. And then they had the audacity to start this war with Russia, which is not going well. And it's clear. I mean, I would wager a whole lot of money that during this year, during the year of the rabbit, Zelensky's going to get chased out of Ukraine, most likely by his own generals, and everything's going to fall apart. And it's going to be a massive geopolitical setback for the Zioocracy. And
yeah, there's no.
And here's my concern. My concern is that, you know, this is a very positive development, but Conservative Inc., if that's what you want to call them, could manage to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory by blaming everything on China rather than accepting this nice victory where with the help of China, with the economic backing of China, Russia is able to overcome Zio-NATO in Ukraine and establish all of these alternative structures, you know, economic structures, trade structures, and whatnot, that bypass Jewish power. There's this massive risk that the very people who should be welcoming this development are going to just start going on some sort of crazy crusade against China with people like Tucker Carlson as being the ringleader. That's what worked.
Because conservatism is part of the problem. It's part of the Jewish power structure. I mean, otherwise it wouldn't be allowed to, you know, be where it's at today. It would be shut down. It would be quashed, you know, just like the, you know, traditional, you know, you could say, you know, far right, you know, ideologies, national socialism, you know, various forms of third tradition. Those probably, they clearly exposed Jewish power, conservatism, you know, conservatism, Inc., or just conservatism in general, you know, was not allowed. I'm sorry, was allowed because it's just part of the Jewish power structure. You know, whereas, you know, and then other ones too that were, you know, shut down were, you know, included various forms of populism, you know, in the U.S., like, especially in the 1930s, you know, with like, you know, the great governor Huey Long and then, you know, all these different, you know, figures, these leaders who were opposed to this, you know, gradually, you know, but rapidly increasing Jewish power. You know, Charles Coughlin, he was another one. Yeah, you know, they were shut down. And you know, movements like that have not been allowed to exist, you know, and be successful since. It's only this conservatism that we're all stuck on. I mean, like, you know, and that's the thing. I mean, the American Empire is about to implode. And, you know, there are various parts of the United States that are, you know, still somewhat decent, not completely exposed to this global homo gay anal degeneracy everywhere, you know, like, for example, you know, the southern United States, you know, the South, as they would call it, you know, some of the Rocky Mountain states in the Northwest, these states, you know, are still somewhat salvageable. And this is where the conservatism, you know, goes in and puts the controlled opposition in place. So, I mean, really the only, that's the thing, it's like the only way for, you know, these parts of the United States to, you know, be salvaged is really for succession, you know, to jump off the, you know, the imploding, you know, American Empire, train, you know, that's headed for oblivion.
So I mean, I really don't know what it's gonna look like.
Yeah, I don't either. And here's, I mean, I'm not, you know, I've been following more of these, you know, succession movements in the United States. I mean, I'm not a Southerner, at least not by blood. But it's like, you know, I mean, I do support the South becoming independent simply because it's going to, I mean, number one, it would be better for the people there living in the South, and not just the South, but other regions too, like I mentioned. And number two, this would actually help enable, you know, and faster enable the success and the, really the solidification of the multipolar world. Because you won't have the American Empire, the U.S. hegemony running the whole world if you got, you know, regions within the United States wanting to break away. So that's going to help the multipolar world that China and Russia are trying to form and have been successfully forming over there.
Yeah, I don't know about, when I say I don't know about, I mean literally, I'm kind of agnostic about some of this stuff with secession of parts of the United States or the South or whatever. What I do know is that the United States as an entity is basically, it's on fire. And it's not just a little fire. If it was like a little fire, you put it out and then you just repair the damage and you move on. But this is like an inferno. It really is like an inferno when you got masses of people flooding across the border where you have had such a huge change in the demographics in the course of just my lifetime, what I've seen, just massive change in demographics where you're having the vilification of the people who were the vast majority of America when I was a kid. But you're having the vilification of white people, vilification of Christians. The country's on fire and it's a big inferno. And once the fire hopefully gets put out, there'll have to be an assessment, and maybe some parts of the some rooms won't be salvageable. Maybe some rooms will be salvageable. Maybe an addition has to be bought on or whatever. I don't know. That's what I'm saying. But I can't even think that far in advance. But you know, there are some hopeful signs. You know, when the enemies of your enemies, and our enemies are the you know, the oligarchy, the Zionist, the Jewish oligarchy. And when I say Zionist, I don't mean pro-Israel per se. I just mean like Jewish supremacist. When that oligarchy is...
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience-supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
You know, the oligarchy, the Zionist, the Jewish oligarchy. And when I say Zionist, I don't mean pro-Israel per se. I just mean like Jewish supremacist. When that oligarchy is being defeated, that's a welcome thing. And then it's also welcome that you've got even relatively small groups that are seeing things clearly, right? And, you know, if you were to go back a dozen years, 15 years, you had the Tea Party movement, which was seeing things a little more clear. Like, it was conservatives, but it was also conservatives who were being awakened to our bad foreign policy by people like Ron Paul.
Yeah, Ron Paul.
And, yeah, and, you know, even the Occupy Wall Street movement showed some signs. It was basically a left-wing movement, but it showed some signs of certain kind of understanding. But then you had the alt-right, which could be kind of obnoxious sometimes, but was, you know, it was much more aware to racial and to Jewish issues. And now, you know, you've got the Groypers, and this is what I want to mention. Nick Fuentes, who has really been a very, welcome development. And yet, I'm going to say an end yet, because I'm still very, very supportive of him, but I was watching or listening to his podcast from a few days ago, and he was talking about Steven Crowder, and Are you from Cato? Are you familiar with Steven Crowder?
A little bit. I mean, I know he's like a conservative commentator. I haven't really listened to him, but I've heard of him.
Yeah. Okay. And he's somebody that would have. He's been around for I don't know, 8 years, 10 years, and he has one of the biggest podcasts. And it's, I think once upon a time it was called Louder with Crowder. And so he's kind of loud, kind of obnoxious. He will go and set up a table somewhere on a college campus and then, infuriate people. He'll debate, you know, he'll say, he might have a sign saying, I don't know what it would say. Like, you know, black people commit 50% of the crime. Prove me wrong. I don't know if he would say that, but it was something, you know, and he would encourage debates, kind of obnoxious, not necessarily super smart either. And somebody who would have been probably described as alt-right, because he would never talk about Jewish power, and in fact always worked for Jews. And he's, I guess, currently, or for the past several years, has worked for, The Daily Caller? No, it's not Tucker Carlson. Tucker Carlson was the Daily Caller. What is it? The Daily Wire. The Daily Wire, which is Ben Shapiro, right? Mm-hmm. So he's been working for Ben Shapiro and apparently has been offered this giant contract for like $50 million. You know, you think somebody who's a podcaster, that's a lot of money. And yet he's not taking it because there are too many strings attached regarding content. They'll dock his pay bigly if he gets kicked off YouTube, which means you're giving YouTube censorship over it, right?
Yeah.
So, okay. So far so good, right? And so even though Crowder is not particularly smart and he's whatever, he's taking a stand. And so both Andrew Anglin was supporting him because he's taking a stand, and it's a stand, even if he's saying it's against, big con, right? Big conservatism is really against Jewish dominance. It's really against Ziocon. Right, because all these people that he's complaining about their business practices, they're all Jews. So Andrew Anglin had an article and he was voicing support for Steven Crowder. And then Nick Fuentes was saying, yeah, I support Steven Crowder in this, even though Steven Crowder has publicly dissed me and said I'm a homosexual and all of this stuff. You know, we've got to put that aside. This is bigger than personal squabbles. So far, so good. This is all good, right?
Uh-huh.
Then he's talking about Steven Crowder, and he's been working for the Daily Wire. Well, okay, this is the direction he takes it. The Daily Wire. So it's you know, it's astroturfed. It's not real conservatism. It's not real grassroots. It's not right wing. It's not America First. Why isn't it America First? Well, where did they get their seed money from? The seed money, I guess, early investors. And he named two names I'd never heard of, but they sound like goy names, you know. They don't sound Jewish. Just, I can't remember. It was like two brothers. And where do they get their money? Well, they run some sort of oil firm. Okay. So they're like probably Texas based oil money. Okay. Well, they sell to China. So linking Ben Shapiro to China. So China, because Ben Shapiro, one of his shareholders, or two of his shareholders, have an oil company that sells oil to China, somehow means that China is calling the shots on the Daily Wire. And that is like, I'm really, really shocked that, because I think Nick Fuentes is really smart. And he is, in the past, he's said, you know, well, if, China invaded Taiwan, which they're not going to do. But if they invaded Taiwan, that's fine. That's fine. You know, good luck, Honorable Chairman Xi. You know, good luck. So he's never been hostile to China. But this was weird. And I'm going to say one more thing before I kick it to you. Kanye, I...
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extendivite really works. Kate, great for bodybuilding or endurance athletes. I can't say enough about Extendivite. It brings more oxygen to your muscles while working out. I never bought this product for heart health, but to improve circulation, and I am not at all disappointed. I noticed an immediate boost in my gym performance, but I thought I would wait to review in case it was a placebo effect. It definitely was not. This is the most powerful supplement I have ever taken in 30 years of bodybuilding. I have taken everything. Extendivite outperforms them all. The ability to squeeze just one more rep or add just a few more pounds to the barbell depends on your ability to carry oxygen where it counts, deep inside your muscle tissues. The added benefits of heart and liver health I consider a bonus. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Xtendovite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Tune in Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 Central, to the Alternative Media with your host, Farron. If you've not been listening, this is some of what you've been missing.
2,000 mules, like you like to say occasionally, Farron, in your face.
They might have a set of lactating mammaries available that could provide milk for their adopted children.
Listen, news media, all pulling off this gigantic fraud.
Rhino, neocon, cucks.
There's this wonderful thing that's called Vote With Your Feet. Move to California.
I am a conspiracy factualist, and everyone else is a reality theorist.
Hundreds, if not thousands, of ships came out of nowhere.
Give me liberty, or let's give you death.
Any excuse to go and kill yourself for this fraud of a government. This goes back 100 years.
When they come for your gold, give them a lead. And when they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
Honorable Chairman Xi, you know, good luck. So he's never been hostile to China. But this was weird. And I'm going to say one more thing before I kick it to you. Kanye, I've been a big supporter of Kanye. I still am. And even with Nick Fuentes, the point I'm about to make would apply to Nick as well. But Kanye has been talking a lot about the Jews, obviously. And he's lost 80% of his fortune, maybe 100% of his fortune because of it. It was a very brave thing to do, and I salute him, and I'm glad. Now, so I was listening to whatever Kanye I could, and so I listened to hours and hours of Kanye, and once he was talking about, you know, the nefarious Chinese role in Hollywood. Now, that was just, you know, it's not just that somebody says something, you also have to consider their emphasis on it. And he's not emphasizing it. He's only mentioned it once. It's not a high priority for him. But still, it was like, I think it was kind of a stupid thing to say. Even if China was nefarious, the level of nefarosity pales so much in comparison. We've got to take care of this Jewish problem before we could worry about anything else, whether it's nefarious or, and I don't think it's particularly nefarious. I just think the Chinese are, you know, they're doing their things and they're not, unlike the Jews, are not purposely trying to destroy their rivals. They want to do business with their rivals. I'll kick it to you. What do you think of that?
Well, first of all, I mean, you know, Nick Fuentes, how old is he? He's like 20-something.
He's 24.
Yeah, so you know, and he's you know, for his age, I mean, he's pretty sharp. But the thing is, I mean, this is why you know, Adolf Hitler said that, you know, anyone who's under 35 should not, you know, join politics and let alone become a leader right away, because there's still, you know, certain inexperiences and certain things that they're just, you know, not trained to do yet. And one of them is analyzing certain, you know, foreign policy and you know, geopolitics. You know, overall, he's done a pretty good job. But, yeah, I think the statement was just him, you know. I mean, he's wrong to say that, you know. I mean, yeah, anyone who talks anything about any other nation or how do we compete with other, all that is crap. As, until we fix, you know, the Jewish power problem, none of that matters, really. None of it matters. And I think, I mean, I don't know why he would, you know. Maybe he was just kind of, I mean, I don't really listen to Nick Fuentes. I used to listen to him a little bit more than I do now. You know, life has been busy, but it's like, it's just his inexperience with a lot of these issues. And, but, you know,
he's, yes. Oh, I was going to say, because he's young, he's able to reach a lot of people that, you know, I couldn't reach, for instance.
You know,
and I don't listen to his show so much because I want to learn things from him, but I do listen to it because I want to know what he's saying, because I think he's very important and he does reach a lot of people. Oh, there was one other thing he said as backing. You know, Tucker offered zero backing for saying that Ardeen was a China puppet. Offered zero. At least Nick Fuentes is offering backing that you can then dissect and take apart.
The thing is, I mean, you know, he doesn't understand international business relations. Sometimes you will do business with your enemies. I mean, that's just how it is in international business.
China has the biggest economy on earth now. Like, it's, if, you know, maybe by some measures, the United States is still bigger. But in terms of international trade, China's much bigger. You know, America might have a bigger GDP still. If it does, it's based on internal consumption because we consume so much. But in terms of production of, you know, material goods, in terms of trade volume, China's bigger. And so most countries in the world, and you can look on, you know, you can find data on this. Most countries in the world have China as their biggest trade partner. There's some that have the United States. There's maybe some that have Germany or, you know, in some cases, I don't know.
China.
But for the most part, most countries are going to have China as their biggest trade partner. Now, one of the things that Nick Fuentes said, he said without really offering anything, he said, you know, the Chinese are in bed with the Israelis. Well, I don't know what that means. I do think, I mean, I've heard other people say this, and this came from like a deep dive into Wikipedia that Jazz Hands and Ethnarc made on Fast the Nation. And, you know, I don't want to be too critical of them because, Jazz Hands has done a lot of smart things. And Ethnarc, who was his co-host on Fast Nation for a year or two, was smart. He's a boomer or almost a boomer because he had claimed to have voted for Ronald Reagan. So he could have been born no later than 1966. And he had some sort of background in Asia, but certainly never studied the Chinese language because he pronounced Xi Jinping's name several different ways, never once correctly. And once he was talking about Chinese characters, he had everything wrong. So he doesn't have linguistic knowledge, but he has some background in China. But they did a deep dive.
I want to make a comment on the show Fascination, FTA, the right stuff.biz. That's, you have Jazz Hands, McFeels, and now it's Warren Baylog. And, you know, he's, you know, good, very good, you know, speaker and, you know, good commentator for sure. I just want to be fair, in the more recent shows, they have backed off on a lot of the China stuff. Like, even Jazz Hands now, he that China is not a Zog. It's not a Zog-controlled country. It's not a Zog-controlled nation. And, you know, that's why Zog doesn't like China. He's already backed off on a lot of that, so.
Well, good. And, you know, like, Ethnarc was only on there for a year or two. But Ethnarc, you know, like he was smart. He had read a lot of books, but that whole China thing, you know, they did this deep dive into the One Belt, One Road initiative, concluding that it was really just China doing Israel's bidding. And they didn't have a whole lot to offer there other than, China was going to be building a giant port in, Israel. Well, if China's going to be building and supposedly running a port, that doesn't actually make, Israel China's master. If anything, it would kind of be the other way around. And then the other thing is one of the routes of the Belt and Road Initiative would go through Israel. Well, if you're going to have a land route from, Asia to Africa, it necessarily has to go through both Israel and Egypt, because that's the land connection between Asia and Africa is right there. It is the land connection is the Israeli-Egyptian border.
Yeah, let me put it. China treats Israel equally and fairly, just like any other nation. There's no, you know, preferential status or our greatest ally, or none of that. China treats Israel diplomatically, you know, equally and fairly, as China does any other nation. You know, is at the end of the day, relations with Israel is about what's good for China, and that's not what's good for Israel. And right. You know, the U.S. on the other hand, you know, Israel's our greatest ally, and you know, if what did Nancy Pelosi said at AIPAC? If America collapses, we'll still stand with Israel. You know.
So yeah, and remember, I just remember this. Who is Israel's greatest boogeyman? It's Iran, right? And even Donald Trump was always ragging on Iran, whereas the Chinese Navy and the Iranian Navy conduct joint exercises in the Indian Ocean. So that hardly sounds like
too, for China. Not to mention for Chinese Lunar New Year, you know that big structure in Tehran that's like one of the structures, you know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
It's famous. Well, basically, yeah, it lit up in the colors of the Chinese flag and Iranian flag to celebrate Sino-Iranian friendship. And the Iranians were celebrating Chinese, you know, not celebrating, but honoring Chinese Lunar New Year. So.
Good. Now, okay, so I've complained about Tucker Carlson. I was complaining about Nick Fuentes, even though I like him. I'm a big supporter. Tucker Carlson, Tucker Carlson's much more of a mixed bag. And if he's going to go anti-China, it kind of outweighs all the good that he's done so far. If he's going to try to lead us into World War III with China. I complained about Fast the Nation and Ethnarc and Jazz Hands. So I've done all that complaining. Now I'm going to, I got to pay a whole lot of honor to Andrew Anglin, who is really on international politics, on foreign affairs. I can't think of anything substantial where I have any disagreement with anything I can remember him saying.
He's been pro-China through and through.
He's rock solid on everything, like on China, on Russia. He's been just absolutely rock solid. Now, of course, he's very much an international traveler. He's been all over the world, so he has firsthand understanding or firsthand experience with China, with Russia, with a lot of these other countries. But there's first there was an article that I had referred you to about his. It started off with him talking about this half American, so-called, not really ambassador, but the equivalent of Taiwan's ambassador to the United States. Taiwan and the United States do not have diplomatic relations, and therefore this person doesn't have ambassadorial status. But it's, you know, the Taiwan representative to the United States. And she is whatever. But in the article, he was quoting, was it the AP or NPR or whatever? He's quoting some mainstream American source that was saying all this stupid stuff, like Taiwan broke away from China in 1949. Now, what happened in 1949 is Chiang Kai-shek, the president of China, president of the Republic of China, was engaged in a civil war with Mao Zedong, and he was losing the civil war, And so he brought his government and his army to Taiwan, not to make Taiwan break away, but so that Taiwan, so that he could recapture the mainland from Taiwan. He wasn't breaking away. He never said that anything other than that he continued to be the president of China. There was no breakaway. This type of thing, like Andrew Anglin understands it. Other people don't. So I'm very thankful for that.
I don't know how much time we have because I want to read
this. Well, this is important, so go for it.
I want to read the biography of this this person, you know, who's the quote unquote ambassador to America. I mean, so her name is Xiao Mei Qin. I mean, she goes by Xiao Bi Kim, which, you know, is I guess that's, you know, the Hokkien, you know, which is the local dialect of what Taiwan speaks. But Xiao Mei Qin, okay. So this is what it says on Wikipedia. Okay, she was born in Kobe, Japan, to a Taiwanese father, a Chinese father, and an American mother. Raised in Taiwan and Tainan, she grew up speaking Mandarin, Hokkien, and English, and were raised in a Presbyterian family. After moving to the teenager, graduating from high school in Montclair, New Jersey, she completed her undergrad at Oberlin College, receiving a bachelor's degree in East Asian Studies, and then went to Columbia University. Okay, blah, blah, blah. Let me see here. Because this is key. So she's a member of the Democratic Progressive Party, which is the liberal, you know, the Western liberal backed party in Taiwan. So this is what it says. Legislative career. So it says Xiao worked on a number of issues in the legislature, notably women's rights, the rights of foreigners in Taiwan, and other human rights. Xiao's allow individuals born to at least one parent of Republic of China nationality and also claim ROC nationality irrespective of age, and has also proposed and co-sponsored anti-discrimination and anti-domestic violence amendments to the Immigration Act. I mean, a Chinese version of your, you know, Western liberal leftist, you know, the rights of foreigners in Taiwan and other human rights. And I will say, in Taiwan, there are these Asian immigrants, and let's just say they don't have the same, you know, high, you know, developed standards as Chinese. Mm. So, and let's see here. Let's see what else. Right here, it says here, on January 20th, 2021, Xiao was officially invited to attend of Joe Biden, the first time Taiwan's U.S. representative has officially attended a presidential inauguration since the U.S. broke off diplomatic relations with Taiwan in 1979, Carter. Standing in front of the U.S. Capitol at the inauguration, she said, "Democracy is our common language, and freedom is our common objective." Actually, I don't even know if she has a Chinese accent.
She's from New Jersey.
Even worse. Okay, then a New Jersey accent. "Democracy is our common language, and freedom is our common objective." Which, I mean, and by the way, she said this right after the January 6th protesters, peaceful protesters, were violently crushed and thrown in federal. So this goes to show. So this is what it also said. Personal life, too. Xiao has been a longtime supporter of gender equality and LGBT rights in Taiwan. Xiao was a cat lover, saying in July 2020 that she planned to take her four cats with her when she moved to the U.S. as Taiwan's top representative to the U.S. As Taiwan's envoy, she said that she would combat China's allegedly aggressive wolf warrior diplomacy with her own brand of cat warrior diplomacy. Oh my. I mean, literally the, you could say, textbook, you know, Asian liberal leftist, self-hating.
Textbook or comic book. A comic book. Yeah, not the even textbook.
Yeah, literally your comic book Asian or half Asian libtard. I mean, it's just, wow. I mean, you just can't.
Yeah.
Everything. And then, of course, I'm going to remind the audience, too, there's also a tranny that also works in as like some kind of, I forgot what her position was, but it was some kind of, you know, high-ranking, you know, political official in the DPP. There's also a tranny.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, seriously, like, come on, like, it doesn't get more obvious than this.
Are those the values that define China as a civilization?
They're the anti-values. That's what they are. They're against everything that China stands, that Chinese, traditional Chinese civilization is. These are Western liberal, these are Judeo-Western liberal values, is what they are.
Yeah, Judeo-Western liberal morality is immorality. Yeah. I wanted to make one more point about Andrew Anglin. I listened to big parts of a podcast. He's done, I guess, three with this guy named Paul Towne, who I'm not familiar with. And a lot of what they were talking about wasn't that interesting to me because I'm older or whatever. But the last half hour or so of the most recent one, they were talking about Ukraine. And he was making some points that also, like, he was making points about how there are people who describe themselves as right wingers who are supporting Ukraine, and they complain that Russia's, they're killing white people, and Putin is controlled by the Jews because he took a picture with.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With a Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream, or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
There are people who describe themselves as right wingers who are supporting Ukraine, and they complain that Russia's, they're killing white people, and Putin is controlled by the Jews because he took a picture with people in a yarmulke, you know. He's standing with Jews, right? He took a picture with Jews. And this is the same thing that you would get on formerly. I guess you're not getting it anymore, but you would get this on FTN that, there's, and other places, that Mao was controlled by Jews because he took pictures of Jews with Jews. And they would say, what was the guy's name? Supposedly Israel Epstein had been the finance minister, which there was never a non-Chinese finance minister. And that somebody was in the Politburo when all they were was in some advisory panel with 3,000 other people that meets once every 5 years. But somehow that's confused with the Politburo. And, you know, so Andrew Yangon was pointing out a lot of this stuff, not so much in the context of China, but in the context of Russia, how on such really scant, not even evidence, but these scant connections, then, you know, supposedly Putin is controlled by Jews. And it's the exact same thing that you've heard regarding China. Oh, China's controlled by Jews because 50 years ago, Mao took a picture with some Jews.
Yeah, everyone's controlled by Jews, and the Jews they control every single power out there, so therefore it's all hopeless. Basically, that's what the message is. It's pushing hopelessness.
It is. Thank you.
Yeah, we're all. I mean, if everyone was controlled by Jews, well, here's the thing. Why don't you, you know, eat, drink, and be merry? Because tomorrow you're still going to be ruled by Jews.
So, exactly.
Nothing. Yeah, there's nothing we can do about it. Then the show is over. Everything's over. Just you know, we should just go about, you know, just enjoying pleasure as much as we can. If it's all controlled by Jews, forget the future then. So
that's right. Well, I don't know if this really applies, but it reminds me of something Winston Churchill once said to a woman at a party who accused him of being drunk, and he said, "Yes, madam, I am drunk, and you are ugly. But in the morning, I shall be sober, whereas you, ma'am, shall still be ruled by Jews." He said something like that. Well, anyway, we're getting... Oh, yeah. Actually, he said she'd still be ugly, but it's the same thing.
Anyway,
but he did say... He was quotable. He was quotable. Not quite as quotable as Yogi Berra, but almost. All right, well, we're getting close to the end of the show. Do you have any final thoughts?
Yeah, just a final rant. I want to promote Dr. David Duke's show that he did with you last Wednesday and Thursday on the World Economic Forum. Just because, you know, that boomer friend that I reference, you know, from time to time on the show, once again sent me an article just talking about how, oh, you know, it's the Nazis and you know that are behind. I'm so sick and tired of just people just, you know, at this point they're going out of their way. They're going way out of their way to defend the Jews because they're afraid another Holocaust might happen. So I recommend the audience and him, if he's listening, which I don't think he is, to go listen to Dr. David Duke's show with Dr. Patrick Slattery last Wednesday and last Thursday, the two parts on the World Economic Forum. So
and then also my Friday show on RBN had Dr. Duke, and we were talking about a lot of the same stuff.
Yes, it's just another form of Jewish power, and that's what it is. Just a form of Jewish power.
It is a tree. There's a lot of trees in the forest. That's one of them.
Label with different nodes, and you know how a spider web is not, it's really not symmetrical like you see in the cartoons where you have to, it's really, you know, all over the place, and there's many different nodes and all that. That's what Jewish power is.
Yeah. All right, well, thank you for joining me.
Yeah, thank you, and once again, you know, happy Chinese Lunar New Year. Xin Yin Kuai Le.
And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste by going to rbnhemppaste.com. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.